number one fantasy sports show. It's the Wagner Wire.
I'm just a shadow of a mega man, glowing brighter with each year I am. I was standing on a mountain, just looking down.
Now, Austin's number one fantasy sports guru, Adam Wagner.
Welcome to the Wagner Wire. I'm joined here by Kevin Epstein, the commander of DFS Army. You can find him at DFSArmy.com. He is also one of the leading DFS players in the world. Kevin Epstein, how are you, brother?
What's up, Wag?
All right, so Kevin, I got to jump right into it, man. I'm dying to know. You've been ranked in the hundreds on Roto Grinders for a while now. You've been one of the pioneers of fantasy football. You've been around for a long time, my man, and not just daily fantasy sports. What is it that you're doing differently than everybody else? What is it that sets you aside and differentiates you from the rest of the pack?
I try to talk about value against ADP as opposed to, you know, is this player worth drafting here? It's or worth drafting, or when should I draft him now? It's, all right, this guy's going on average number 13. Here's why you should, that's a good deal, a bad deal, you should avoid him. And I think winning the draft really means avoiding certain landmines. And based against ADP, that doesn't mean if I didn't like Dez Bryant, you know, in the fifth pick that I don't like him. I just like him in the second round.
Right, right.
And things like that. Or other, you know, so what I could do with the second round, because it's filled with landmines and potential disasters, is kind of go through each of these players and say, listen, Jordan Howard, he's going off third, but, I mean, this guy has no history. He's on a team that's not going to score a lot. Or similar for Amari Cooper being such an inconsistent player, you know, not necessarily an anchor for a team. And if that's your first wide receiver, you know, it's not the best. And why is Dez going after him? He's so much more consistent. You know, things like that.
Right on. Well, you got. It looks like you got some good squad leaders in place. You got Keith Boomer's. What can never get his Twitter name right?
Yeah, Boomer Daddy.
Boomer DFS Daddy or something like that. But I don't know. He's got a cute little kid. And then you got old Tex, man. Tex 0322 on Twitter. He's got the range as well. You got some good people in place.
We've been really lucky. I recruited a bunch of these guys from outside, but some of them just kind of popped up. Some of these guys I recruited, like Taco, who does all of our NASCAR, and he does our golf and our NASCAR stuff, and I found him. I just loved his stuff. A lot of these guys, what ends up happening is I discover them.
Right.
And they're doing really good work, and I'm like, man, the way that I figure out if somebody's going to be good for the site is basically, do I personally find their information, their writing, their spreadsheets, whatever they're putting together, do I find it compelling personally for my game?
Do you ask yourself, am I going to learn from this article? Do I learn from this podcast? Not so much if the talent is good or not, but if it's just good content.
Yeah, it's about the content, and it really comes down to, do I want to listen to this before I play? Because I play these sports heavily. And so the guys that we have here, like I have 120 lineups going in NASCAR this week. I had, you know, as many lineups as you can do. So I'm like, do I find this person's stuff good? Like, is it a must read? Was I going back to it week after week? And I'm a tough critic. Like, I don't just read anything. So, or I don't just look at anybody's research. But if I find it compelling, that's when I've recruited people. That's how I recruited Brady, a lot of these guys. And then some of them I just discovered from within.
Brady does a sway bar, right?
Brady does a sway bar.
That is a great article. He and Taco, that's probably some of your best content on the DFS Army website. I mean, it's all good, but they never miss.
What's shocking, though, is like people don't know. People don't realize, because there are sites that just focus on NASCAR, and like they have their own exclusive subs just for that, and you're paying $30 a month just to get somebody's NASCAR. But I'm like, dude, our stuff is awesome across the board.
Right.
Like our golf is great. Our NASCAR is great. We've got people covering WNBA, you know, and that's the small stuff. I mean, 6-7 people on MLB.
Well, see, it's funny that you mentioned small stuff, because I actually take the approach to DFS to where I look at it as like another income, pretty much, because my motto is, if you can win $100 a day, that is $36,500 annually, right? That's an extra source of income. And I wasn't on that stat until I joined the DFS Army. So I can't.
Does it feel good to consistently be a winner?
Yes. I mean, and it's great. I love golf. I love golf, but I can't stand going out and playing it every time because I fail. I don't play as well as I played the day before, and it's not consistent. So I tend to stay away from golf because I'm not a pro. Now, with the DFS, enlisting into the DFS Army, so to speak. My Marine background, I always have to use that military terminology, right? Thank you for that. So after enlisting into the DFS Army, my win percentage has gone from a 67% on DraftKings to a substantial 83%. That's alarmingly good. That's just, the stats are in the numbers. It doesn't lie.
I mean, what we're trying to do, and obviously everybody's results are different based on the kinds of contests you're interested in. And one of the things I like about what our group does, and I'll talk again about the origins if you want, but one of the things I like about what we do is we're putting together a lot of research, but we're leaving it to our membership, our guys, everybody in the team. I consider it a team. So
yeah,
I really
sure.
like to think of our team members. And we leave it to them to sort of put things together how they want. Not everybody does well. You just can't because this is a
saturated market.
It's a saturated market. There's a lot of advice out there. And of course, everybody has different methods for playing and different ideas. Like, you're very conservative. I've seen what you do. And you played very conservative, which I think is good.
Right.
A lot of cash lineups, one or two lineups.
Mama, my boss tells me what I can and what I can't. And what I mean by boss is my wife. So she's just like, as long as you're playing on house money, which I've been playing on house money for a while now, I'm fine. But when that house money runs out, man, she's going to be, hey, now, if it comes out of the bank account, we got some problems. And I agree. You know what I mean? I ain't never trying to take food off the table. That's for sure. But
I think I based my entire DFS strategy when I invented. If we go back to the beginning, when I got into this,
right? Yeah. When was that? Can we tell that story
one origin story? Yeah. All right. So, I was this person. I love fantasy football.
Now, were you doing it back when it was on paper?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't like keeping records. I'm definitely disorganized. So when the internet was invented. And, about 2001 when fantasy football, 2002, when people realized, oh, wow, this is really awesome over the computer.
Right.
As opposed to the pen version,
right.
Which was, a certain level of geekiness that even I didn't reach.
He is the fantasy football geek on Twitter. That's where you can find him at.
That is my handle. So, and I have a story about geeks. But I discovered regular fantasy football about 2002 and 3. Now, I'm a Jets fanatic. I love football. Let's start there because I really think it's important to love the sports that you're playing and to use daily fantasy sports in the same way any fantasy sport should be used as a method to make it more exciting
right.
to watch the sports we already love. So I don't look at it as a job. I don't look at it as necessarily a means to make money. That does happen. Which is great.
Yeah,
for me,
yeah.
I just love winning.
Right. Yeah.
More than anything else. I love the act of winning.
Kevin, can I ask you a question? I'm sorry to interrupt, but were you that kid in gym class that just had to win?
I was very competitive.
Right. So was I. All right. Right on.
Yeah.
That.
I was very competitive. But to take that further, I'm also not terribly athletically gifted. So those two things, really, in gym class was okay,
right.
but it's not like I was dominating varsity sports or even close. So
all
this
right.
is as good as it gets for me.
Okay, right on.
This daily fantasy was like, all right, I kind of wasn't good at most sports growing up. I loved them. I tried to play them. Wasn't
but you
great.
Observed them. You did observe them. So
I
you
did.
Learned.
I'm like the Eric Mangini of daily fantasy. Where
right.
like,
oh, man. Kind of learning like did occur, though.
On the end of the bench on the team, but I learned a little bit.
We're talking with Kevin Epstein, the commander of DFS Army. You can find him at dfsarmy.com. Go ahead, Kevin.
Absolutely. So, I mean, the way I started out was I discovered FanDuel back in 2011. And no one had heard of it in 2011. It was a new thing. And to be quite honest, I thought it was a scam.
Right.
I'm like, online gambling, this seems very sketchy to me.
I see. Poker just, that was hot, and that just, went off the air and killed and died out, and so.
Seems sketchy, right?
Right.
The whole thing was like, this feels sketchy to me. But I wanted to give it a try, so I put $100 in. This was the 2011 season again. The contests were so different. FanDuel was a tiny site. A GPP, like a multi-entry tournament, big time, was like 500 people,
right.
500 entries. This was the early days. And, I mean, the lineups were much more donkey back then, and I will talk more about that later. But in essence, I went through that season. I started $100, and I was like, if I lose my hundy, I basically said this is like a fantasy football league for me. And I would put $100, $150 on a fantasy football league, so I'm like, I'll kind of treat this like that.
Right.
And I went up and down, and you know what? It took most of that season to kind of figure out a strategy for it. I think I was down to, you know, some $30 at some point. I'm like, if I lose this, I'm done. By the end of the season, I was up like $400. And I kind of had figured out this little method for how to keep my bankroll steady while I went into these little tournaments, and it involved like doing a lot of cash games and head-to-heads. And I think the seminal moment, after that year, I was like, this isn't a scam because I'm up and I'm not some insider
right.
scammer, so obviously this is real. Yeah, I told a bunch of friends about it. What happened and how I kind of got started was the next year I told a bunch of friends about it, and I was like, guys, you got to try this. It's awesome. Like, you know, I have two fantasy football leagues, but it wasn't enough, or, you know, things go bad, and just having stuff on the line always made watching football so much more fun. So I told a few friends, and then they were like, hey, what do you think we should do this week? And that's when I started putting together a column. I just created a blog mostly for my friends, and I would just break down all the games.
Just putting your thoughts out there, right?
Yeah, I would just break them all down. I would do the breakdowns. And here's where it gets crazy. This was a blog on blogspot.com, like just a little nothing for me to post things.
Right.
Man, this thing started to get really popular. And actually, if you ask around Slack, the early adapters of DFS, they probably discovered that blog in 2012 or 2013.
Wow, man. So you've been on the game. You've been on the scene for a while.
Very long.
A pioneer, if you will.
I believe that I pioneered something called the 80-20 method. And this was the first my most popular blog post ever was called FanDuel Winning Strategies, where I just went into, you know, it's not so much about the teams you're putting together. It's a lot about how you approach your bankroll and how much cash against tournaments. Because basically what would happen is people would get into this. They'd throw their money into a couple of big GPP contests, usually like a Millie Maker or some high top-end payout.
Right, right.
Very low chance of pulling your money out of it. And they would get themselves wiped out, and that would be it. And I'm like, you got to be in it to win it. So I didn't want to wipe myself out. I don't like to be a degenerate. Therefore, I was like, all right, now this sort of thing, going after big prizes, that's for suckers. What am I going to do? So I came up with sort of a method for how much to allocate to cash and how much to allocate to tournaments. And today that's just common. Everybody knows it stuff. But a lot of this stuff was being pioneered at that time. And no one, this was a new thing. And for me, I was pioneering it because I didn't know where else to get advice. I didn't know of any other sites or any other places. I would just do my own thing. And
for sure. And, you know, and the pros were still more focused on season or traditional fantasy instead
of
daily
fantasy.
I'm
not sure. I mean, there were poker pros who apparently had come over from the poker world and started dominating the daily fantasy sports world. And that's what you really saw. The big move was poker pros. They came and they started sort of doing really well. And most of the big names you've heard of today come from the poker world, who are big names in DFS. But I was not a poker person. I was I'm the other kind of successful, I think, DFSer. I came from the world of day trading. And I have a different methodology, but it works. So, and just loving fantasy football. So that was 2013. Blog is getting popular. Keep writing it. More and more people. It gets to the point where I have 100,000 page views on this article a month. Like, it was getting pretty extreme considering how small DFS was.
It was in demand. Yeah, that's crazy.
Yeah, I was so surprised. And I was it was one of the original full slate breakdowns every game, and I used to do that. Evan Silva does it really well now, but at that time, Evan Silva wasn't around, and that's what I did. So that was 2013, and I think we started the reason I started the DFS Army group, that was in 2015. And basically, I had a big readership, a big blog, and I saw people on Twitter out selling advice.
Right.
And I kind of remembered back to something we used to do in day trading, which was, you know, as a team leader, in essence, what my job was to train new recruits. you know, into the system that I had learned, the techniques and the system. And basically, the way that FanDuel and DraftKings referral system worked at that time, if you had a referral, the more that they played, you know, you get a little piece of their commission. So a lot of the readers that I was getting were sort of signing up for the sites through my links, and they were becoming my referrals. And there was a benefit there to teaching them how to play so they could be successful and be consistent and win a lot.
Right.
And therefore, you know, like one person who's winning a lot and playing a lot, that's really good for your revenue. And that money funneled its way back into my DraftKings account, which allowed me to play more. So I was like, yeah, I'll help people.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Don't threaten me with a good time.
Yeah. Why not? So that's kind of how things got started. And I saw what happened was disturbing was here I was ranked number 66 overall at the time on RotoGrinders for fantasy football. One of the top players in the world. I had won at that point a number of GPPs. I had first place finishes. I have, you know, five figure caches. And I'm like giving my info away and online and everything. And I see these people selling lineups. I'm like, who are these guys? And they're a bunch of nobodies. And I'm like, people are paying for this?
Right.
They're ripping them off.
Right.
Like, why would you buy a lineup from some idiot on Twitter? What are people doing? Why are they doing this?
And most of those guys are going to experts anyways and then just reselling their lineups.
Yeah, I mean, realistically.
Yeah, that's what I caught on to.
We keep catching those guys joining our group and trying to use our Domination Station optimized lineups to sell them. Like, we catch them and throw them out all the time, these people. It's hard to really police it. But I guess if somebody wants to join my site, pay, and then give out that lineup and charge all these people $50 a month to take they should just join the site. They should learn. They get all the tools, and it's a lot less, and then they wouldn't have to be scammed by some clown on Twitter. But, I mean, that's really where it started, and it was going to be a newsletter, just my stuff. I was like, you know what? I'm not going to give out. On the blog, I used to do all-in plays every week, my all-ins. You know, load up on these guys, basically your core for the week. And people love that. I mean, if you ask Chip and some of the guys, they were like, they were fiending for the all-in plays at this point by 2014. You know, I was a known player.
Yeah.
I had won tournaments.
I had heard of you, and I wasn't a big shark on the scene. Hell, I mean, I was just a novice fantasy sports player, and I'd heard of you. Al Walsh is the guy that actually told me about you.
Yeah. Al and I used to talk fantasy football on his show, and I told him about FanDuel, too, and he would laugh at me like, I'm such a geek. What is this shit that I had find? So, that's how it started. And in the end, I decided to, it started as a newsletter. I'm like, you know what, I'm not going to give my all-in plays out to the public because now there's so many people reading this blog that I'm literally helping my competition.
Right.
I'm like, why should I do that? Especially when these clowns are buying lineups on Twitter from people that are probably reading my blog. So I said, forget it. That's when I started VIP. I think it was 2015 ahead of the football season, and it was going to be a newsletter. Just a newsletter that I sent out to a mailing list. And be quite honest, I was shocked when people started signing up. Shocked. Everyone, I still to this day remember, every single sign up, I'd be like, oh my God.
Kevin, every story that you have told me is something about you and success. Why would you be shocked at anything else? It's kind of like the standard with you, buddy.
No, I mean, you just don't know. You really have no clue. I'm not like tech savvy. I don't, you know, I don't have marketing. These are not things I've done. So every single, you kind of see, like, all I ever knew was some people commenting on a blog, and I would see these numbers of page views, and it seemed like a lot.
Right.
But, I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm like, I don't even know if these numbers are real. Does this even work? Is this, you know, I have no clue. So I'm definitely always surprised. And I was surprised by every sign up. Couldn't believe we got hundreds and hundreds of sign ups. I came up with the concept of Slack and the ability to give these people access to talking to each other and me, just figuring that would be a cool thing.
Right.
Again, these are ideas I innovated. That was my invention. Now every site uses Slack.
Yes, they do. They have some type of talk chat channel.
All copied us.
Right. Right.
All
copied us. I'm telling you, man, he's the leader. He's the commander of the DFS army. Get on board now while you can. Use my code WAGS for 20% off. You can even go to Kevin too, man. I'm just the driver here. I'm steering you into the ship. I'm the into the DFS army for the Wagner Wire listeners and all of our Horn followers here in Austin, Texas. VY, tell them where we're at.
Austin, Texas, baby.
So the evolution started there. So you know, obviously, we came up with the Slack concept. this coaching idea, and the members loved it. And it was we were getting, I mean, at that point I had hundreds and hundreds of members, and it was, again, really shocking. And of course, what happened as that NFL season, and it was a great, by the way, I want to really mention this. It was an incredible season. The first year we had four or five different members win six-figure caches. I kid you not.
Oh, my God. You don't lie. You tell the truth all the time, man.
The screenshots are on the website, on our wall of wins. Jay Blaze, who's still in the site, quit his job. Jay Blazuski quit his job. Like, this guy won $380,000 on one lineup. We had another guy, a school teacher from Ohio, win $120,000. Another $100,000 winner, Leonidax. Another guy, Casey Foote. I remember their names because my mind was blown.
I'm sure it's your first, you know, your first year, and you're already getting, you know, six-figure winners. This thing's actually happening.
These were regular people, not pros, and by any stretch, not guys who were putting on hundreds and hundreds of or thousands of dollars every week. These were the regular people putting on, you know, $150 in lineups every week. Just regular players, casuals, following the advice. They're all on the thing. All of their lives were changed. And we only had 600-700 members. It's not like, oh, 10,000 people, of course a couple win a million, you know, 100,000.
Right, right.
No, we had like 600 people. This was not a big enough group that the stats would say we should have had four or five winners. And the most telling part was, like, Jay, when he won 380,000, I mean, he used my core from the week. That week I won $14,000. Like, it wasn't the same. It was like, looked like it was embarrassing by comparison.
Right.
And that's the beauty of allowing people to input their own thoughts so that we kind of give a baseline, and then you finish it out with your own sort of ideas. This is part of the reason why I'm my friend is in the MMA bracket challenge. And I'm not. Like, how does your buddy, who you watch the fights with, who has no idea anything about DraftKings, but he's like, hey, we're watching the fight together. Who do you like? And I threw him four names, locked these guys in, and just fill out the rest.
Right.
And, of course, he takes a guy that I was like, nah. You know, I went into the week thinking, I'm not touching that guy. It was Tim Boach, right? And I had seen this guy get knocked out so many times, and he was such a scrub. I was like, I'm never playing that guy, never. You know, and it's cognitive bias. Well, my friend didn't have that cognitive bias. He's like, oh, Boach fits in over here, and he just slapped that
he just
in.
Takes it.
Right. Wins every contest of the week. $7,000 in wins, plus an entry into the bracket queue.
Well, you didn't do too bad yourself. I mean, I saw the text that you got last night, and it looked like you had about $300, $400 that you had profited. So, I mean, let's not sneeze at that.
Yesterday I did great, but this is, you know, my buddy was moving on. I'm, in essence, making the lineups for his bracket challenge, so... You know, because he doesn't know anything. So we're just talking all during the week, and I'm making the lineup for him. And, you know, we're on to round three, you know, $4,500 locked in. So that's another massive profit for a guy who has nothing
to do with MMA or DFS. It's great. That is the beauty of it. I was making lineups for people who loved my content, and they were like, hey, man, you got another one? And I would be making, like, $5 because I'm a conservative dude. You know, I would play like the $2 chump change GPPs, and I would only pull out like $5 because there's just so many contestants in there. And they would pull back and, you know, send me a direct message on Twitter. Thanks, homie. You know, $1,100 winner, man. You're the man. Thank you. And I got nothing for it, man. That's when I was just like, I'm done generating lineups for people. I'm going to give just people content solely, and that's it. Hooked up with Al a little bit, and then, you know, had to take some time off to get my grades straight just so I could graduate from UT. And then you came around, I saw you, I was just like, hey, man, what's this DFS Army thing, dude? And then Tex hit me up, and then sure as shit, I'm enlisting back into the services of the DFS Army.
Well, we love having you on board, and hopefully you've seen a little bit of how we operate, kind of how we really truly try to help our teammate members and cheer each other on.
Oh, yeah, you say a team, but it's more like a family. It truly is. It's nothing but a solid core of dudes that like DFS, and they're just, hey, man, I got input on this, I got input that. You even got a weather guy. You even got a damn weather guy.
We literally try to do everything we can to support. I don't like to call it I never call anybody that in our group are like customers, or I don't think of it like that.
Right.
And I really don't. And I've encouraged no one to. It's not how we go. It's really a
no clients or anything like that. Yeah. All right, we're going to hop out of here for a quick break. We'll be right back. He's Kevin Epstein. I'm Adam Wagner. You're listening to The Wagner Wire. Download it at hornfm.com.
All your life can't save me.
Now back to The Wagner Wire. Here's Wags.
Again, we're talking with Kevin Epstein, the commander of DFS Army. You can go to DFSArmy.com to see his work. He's currently 64th on Rotogrinders.com in the welterweight category for DFS, 10th overall in MMA. And then of the past two or three years, he's been ranked in the top 100 out of 30,000 people.
Well, as I was saying before, as we evolved, what happened was it was football season was coming to an end, and everybody's like, hey, what about basketball? What's going on? And,
right.
We had this NBA room, and here's this guy, Keith, this is where I discovered him. He's in the NBA room sort of leading it. And I'm like, who the hell is this guy? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know everyone. And I had a few kind of insiders that would keep me informed of what was going on because I was very busy. So, I'm not able to be in Slack talking to every single person all the time. There's hundreds and hundreds. Everybody wants to ask me questions. So, we have a group of guys who are sort of the contributors who do a lot of that as well so that, we can all be involved. And they would tell me about this guy in the NBA room. And I do now, but at that time I didn't play DFS NBA at all. So it wasn't interesting for me. I wasn't in the room. And they're like, yeah, this guy is in here and he's won. He was at the championships last year and he's won, major prizes and he's sort of really, really good at this. And, that's kind of how we started to evolve into a group that covered all sports. I was like, well, all right, let me give this a shot. And I kind of put Keith as the team leader for NBA, got some other people in there. That's when Al came in and a couple other guys. And I was like, all right, let's see if we can keep this going year-round. And we had a baseball. Keith also does baseball. And then we started adding in, like I said, the other sports. I recruited some of the best people, I think, in the world for golf and NASCAR.
Brady and Taco. I mean,
right.
I haven't lost in NASCAR yet.
Yeah, and by the way, just before we spoke on the phone, I was sitting here just massaging my NASCAR line. I was getting ready. It was really good stuff, and obviously now we have Trey and you for our soccer coverage and just a big group of good guys.
Very eclectic group of big variety. Yeah. It's that umbrella is definitely growing. Kevin Epstein with the DFS Army, the leader and the commander of DFS Army, I should say.
Yeah, and that was basically it. So what I always come back to is my first love is fantasy football. Now, I handle, obviously, MMA. We talked a little bit about that, and that was awesome yesterday, and took down a tournament last night, which was great. But my first love is football. It's watching football and fantasy football, and that's really where it all began, and that's still there for me. That love is still there. I love fantasy football. I love season-long. I love the DFS version of it. I'm super excited.
Speaking about that, I gotta ask you before we let you go here, man. A lot of questions concerning when you should take a quarterback this year. How late, how early? Drew Brees is up there going out around the fourth round. TB12, he's the first one out on everybody's list, around with AR12. When can you take a quarterback and have it still be enough of a quarterback to be in the tier one, tier two bracket to actually lead your team to a fantasy football championship? Do you have any advice for our listeners there?
I do. And I'm going to give a more general piece of advice as opposed to who I like the most, which is obviously Aaron Rodgers. But wait on the quarterback position. Fantasy football is all about scarcity of resources. And the least scarce resource, unless you're in some kind of wacky 2QB
right.
type super flex situation, which I don't play in them because it kind of ruins my edge. But my number one edge in fantasy football for many, many years, and unfortunately this is now kind of common knowledge, but it wasn't 10 years ago. Is wait on that quarterback. I know everybody wants the big name quarterback, but trust me when I tell you that's a donkey move that will cause you to lose your league.
Unless you're in like you said, unless you're in a two quarterback system or a two quarterback fantasy football league, anything extreme or out of the question.
Actually, I'm going to say there's two situations where that varies. One is the 2QB league, of course, where you need to. That now scarcity of resource actually does come into play. When I say scarcity of resource, I mean if I got the 12th guy, he's still pretty good at quarterback. Like, yeah, I get it. Aaron Rodgers is probably going to average 24 fantasy points per game this year. But
19 is still doable.
And that's what you're getting out of number 12, be that, you know, Kirk Cousins or Mariota or Jameis Winston. Those guys are going to get you like 19. Like, the difference, the scarcity of that resource is minimal. You can always pick up a QB. There are guys on the bench all the time. There are guys on free agency.
I won a championship with Sage Rosenfels, man.
There you go. I mean, that's pretty intense.
When he was a Houston Texan, I had Andre Johnson, and I picked up Sage Rosenfels when Schaub went down.
I remember that whole scenario. I mean, that's going back a long way.
Yeah.
But I think Rosenfels might have been okay for a few games. Look, I don't want to rely on him.
Yeah,
anymore.
But I'm saying that was a knee-jerk reaction, and it pulled out.
Hey, I've played Mark Sanchez in a playoff, and been okay, I think, when he was with the Eagles that year. So, yeah, you can get by for a week or two. But generally, there are players available on the bench. This past year, you could have at any point picked up a Mariota, a Jameis Winston. Kirk Cousins wasn't even a top 12 guy. The guy puts up points. So you want to wait until – I generally wait until pretty much all my positions are filled unless some crazy value. So, like, the earliest I ever dream of taking a quarterback is about the sixth round.
Right.
And that the reason being I've got at least two running backs. I've got a couple of wide receivers. I have a couple of plays here that I like, and we can go through them too. But, you know, I've got a couple of wide receivers that I like. I've got a tight end. And then I'm like, you know what, all right, I'm probably looking at, like, some really bad version of a running back or RB3 or some – maybe I have some sneaky late wide receivers that I'm targeting, so I'm not so worried about getting those bench wide receivers
right.
early. And then I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go for it. And so, you know, somebody's dropped that I really like, I'll grab them.
And a wide receiver three can still get you 10 points in production almost on any given Sunday anyways, or Monday, Thursday, whenever we play these days.
Yeah, and, well, the thing about the wide receiver position is you can find sleepers very late. I'll give you one of my favorite sleepers for this year.
Mark this down, everybody. Mark it.
Exclusive. I call him the sheriff, but others call him Smokey. But John Brown of the Arizona Cardinals.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He's over his sickle cell issue. That appears to be done. That was hampering this guy last year. He had an illness.
Right.
He's over it.
Sickle cell's no joke. We dealt with a lot of Marines had that, and they couldn't go up on certain hikes, you know, over a certain level of elevation and altitude because of sickle cell, man. It's a real deal.
It's weird because I don't recall it being such an issue. But, you know, 10, 20 years ago, like, I don't really remember hearing. But last year we had three or four issues like that, including Ty Montgomery from the Packers. He had some issue like that, too. And, you know, it's like an illness. It's really hard to, you know, it's one of the worst things as a prognosticator, because it's one thing to look at an injury and say, okay, you know, they're questionable, but I think these illnesses, you can't really, like, I don't know how much they're going to play. I'm not a doctor. I don't have
right.
a way of evaluating. But the word is he's healthy. The Cardinals get rid of Mike Floyd, who is terrible. By the way, don't draft him. I don't care what team he's on. He was always bad. You know, they have an old man in Larry Fitzgerald who generally starts off the season hot but is apt to break down, especially now in his late 40s or however old he is.
I was very shocked that he led the league in receptions last year. That was...
Did he? I mean, where did he come from? I had him on my fantasy team. I mean, you know, because he dropped. No one wanted Larry Fitzgerald. I got him super late. And it was a great pick. I was like, all right, you guys don't like an old man?
Right.
I'm an old man, and I'm going to take the old
yeah.
man. I don't care.
Wisdom, baby.
Yeah, I mean, come on. So, yeah, he was on my team last year. But John Brown, who is his competition there? J.J. Nelson? I think he weighs 150 pounds.
Soaking wet.
He's a tiny man. He's smaller than me. Man, if you're smaller than me, you should not be flying.
You better be running like Flash.
Yeah, I mean, I was okay at flag football in my gym class, but yeah,
right.
No, it's not happening.
The orange team.
Yeah, you know, one hit and I crumple
right.
like a cheap suit.
Right.
So you can't be that small. So you have J.J. Nelson, an injury risk all the time. There's just not a lot of competition. They're going to throw a lot. Now, obviously...
DJ had... David Johnson had 140 targets out of the backfield. Or, I'm
yeah,
sorry, 120 targets. They're throwing.
Johnson is my number one
consensus. Pick. Yeah,
I don't know if he's consensus.
He's my
Bell is there.
Yeah, Bell's there, and you know what? That's a great point because about a week ago it was consensus. I do about three or four mock drafts a day a day, and just so I can see trends and tendencies, right? So about a week ago, it was David Johnson, David Johnson, David Johnson, David Johnson. This week, there has been a lot of Le'Veon Bell action in the first pick. So it's not just David Johnson anymore. You're seeing Le'Veon Bell creep up. And I think it's because he's keeping his nose. Well, his nose has always been clean. That's just a figure of speech. But yeah. I think it's just because he's staying out of trouble.
Yeah, I mean, Le'Veon Bell is so talented. He's so capable of putting up massive scores. I don't have any problem with taking Le'Veon Bell first, by the way.
He's the only guy that reminds me of Marshall Faulk.
Marshall Faulk is a good. That's a really good comparison. Actually, both of these guys have that comparison. I mean, Priest Holmes. There was Le'Veon Bell.
Well, Priest was
guy.
So good, man.
Remember who was that guy? Larry Johnson.
Larry Johnson. Yeah.
Yes. I kind of see Le'Veon Bell that way, and maybe David Johnson kind of compares to Marshall Faulk in such a prolific pass catching, and I love my pass catching running backs.
Right.
David Johnson's so prolific at that, but he should do even better with fewer alternatives on the Cardinals. The only concern I have for David Johnson and the red flag, even at number one, is Carson Palmer's age is scary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, he's an old quarterback that's brittle, and what can potentially happen to that team if Palmer goes down is that just
the eight in the box
scoring? Yeah, just the whole prolific scoring thing goes away. I do not want running backs on teams that don't score. And actually, if we run through these first two rounds, and if we have time, I'll go through some of this and some scary or some warning signs for some of these players that people are taking very high, because if you're on a team that's not going to score, you're not going to do well. It's why I warned everybody who followed our group and followed my pre-draft notes last year not to take Todd Gurley.
Right.
And I was one of the few people who said, skip this guy. I have the notes. They're still there. If you check my fantasy football sort of advice from my pre-draft notes from last year, he was in red.
And where can we find that at? We can find that on DFSArmy.com, right?
Yeah, if you scroll back to, on DFSArmy.com under the NFL category, you can go back to last year and just see my notes from the whole draft and where I went right and where I went right. I actually warned people off of Dez Bryant, too, which was a good warning for Dez having a down season, but my reasoning was sound. I basically said in my pre-draft notes that Tony Romo is so brittle that, people are taking Dez Bryant in the top 12 or the top 10 even, but he's a quarterback that has every chance of not making it through the season. Now, I didn't know he was going to get knocked out like day one or week one or whatever it was. I just figured Tony Romo's a guy who's going to get hurt. His back is messed up, and backs just don't heal. I didn't know Dak Prescott was going to come out of nowhere. Actually, Dak came out of nowhere and sort of changed that whole thing, but going into the draft, you can't know that. So I was like, why are people taking Dez Bryant in the first round? If Romo gets hurt, which is a high likelihood, then this guy is not going to do what he's supposed to do, which was true, and then Dez got hurt. But really, when Dak came out of the blue, it wasn't Romo that caused it. It was just Dez's injury, which is a whole different story. But nonetheless, it worked out. So
yeah,
pat myself on the back for that. And especially for just the thinking forward about not just the player himself, but his quarterback situation. And there's a few of these players in the first round that have similar sketchy scenarios. I'm going to talk about a guy, because I'm looking at your first round draft. You had Johnson, Bell, Zeke Elliott 1, 2, and 3. That's mm-hmm. fine. Antonio Brown next. Hey, Antonio Brown. One of the things this year, though, is to keep in mind there is a scarcity at running back like never before.
Right.
And so running back is a premium, definitely position to
even in PPR. Great point. Even in PPR leagues, because of that scarcity, and I'm glad you brought that terminology up, because that's a lot of terminology that DFS fans and traditional fantasy football players should be familiar with, is scarcity. And there's the drop-off in running back, and you can see this. It's a deep draft for wide receiver. And it's the wide receivers, it's their league pretty much, especially with the rules being implemented and basically, what's the word I'm looking here, tailored to their settings, right? So that they can maximize scoring potential. So
now, the last few years, obviously the NFL has made it scoring more prolific
right.
through the air. And
like, I'm seeing that. Leonard Fournette in the second round, and I don't like seeing that. You know what I mean? I don't even like, you know, putting all my money in on Marshawn Lynch because of that talented backfield of Rashard and the other guy from Oakland. I can't remember the other guy's name, but they got it. Washington, I think. It's Washington,
yeah, Washington.
Washington and Rashard. Yeah, they got a couple of quick backs there. And Marshawn Lynch, he's obviously going to be the ground and pound, but when do you take him? And I'm not, because of the drop-off in running back, I think you got to have a lot of running backs going in the first round. I mean, you know, Julio and OBJ, they're obviously a tier above the rest.
No, actually, I'm going to talk about that.
I was hoping that segue.
I like to go out on a limb.
Right on.
I like to go out on a limb. I'm not here to tell you that David Johnson is a good player. Come on.
Right. Yeah.
I'm going to go out on a limb, and you're going to get stuff from me in my stuff that people are afraid to say. And I'm going to now knock Odell Beckham Jr.
I am right. A Giants fan. You do know that. You Jets.
You're
dirty.
A Giants fan? That's awesome.
Yes.
I mean, I'm in New York. So I mean, I'm around the Giants. I'm you know, I live 15 minutes from the Meadowlands.
Oh
so,
yeah, man.
I'm a Jets fan, but that's not why I'm going to knock Odell. I'm going to knock Odell because here's the thing: Odell Beckham Jr. has been a volume wide receiver for his first couple seasons in the league.
And what do you mean by volume? You mean targets?
The target volume has been exorbitant. Not just, I mean, 17, 18 targets a game kind of numbers.
Right.
And he does well. He's one of the most talented wide receivers in the league, no question.
But he gets the opportunity.
He gets and well, it helps because he's got a 50% accuracy quarterback that he gets a ton of targets. But here's the thing: the Giants go out, they bring in Brandon Marshall. Now they've never had.
Plex. Plexico was a tall, lanky guy.
And but. They had Plexico a few years back, but not together with. Not together with Odell Beckham.
No, not with this talent. This is a talented wide receiver.
Yeah, they haven't combined that. So they still have Sterling Shepard, worthy of some targets as well. But Brandon Marshall is different. Brandon Marshall is the possession wide receiver. Listen, if he's healthy, when he stays healthy, and I have a big, big problem with the fact that Brandon Marshall both plays football and does a television show during the week. And I have a massive problem with that. As you know, doing these radio shows, it takes a lot of breath.
Yeah, you got to put some time into it, man. There's some homework to just go. You don't just show up.
So if he's prepping for the show, what's he not doing? Prepping for the game.
Right.
I don't like it. But nonetheless, that's just my personal thing. I've been angry about that for years as a Jets. But Brandon Marshall's going to command targets. He's going to command red zone targets. He's going to command possession targets. And I believe that Odell Beckham will see a 30% decline or 25% decline in the number of targets his way. Now, there are people who are going to make an argument that, well, Brandon Marshall commands more defensive attention and you can't put two guys on Odell and that will help him. And that's true. You know, having two guys, it does command attention, but it also reduces consistency of targets.
Right.
And targets is what I believe leads to fantasy scoring, according to every stat that I've ever looked at. So what does it all mean? It means I'm not reaching for Odell Beckham with the fifth pick in the first round of the draft when he's going to be sharing targets with another stud wide receiver.
I love it. You don't think it opens it up? You don't think it opens more targets for him? You don't think it pulls the defense? Right, not more targets, but you don't think it pulls the defensive double teams that he was receiving or the bracket? It pulls it off of him.
But I don't think it makes up for going from a 18 to 17, 16 targets per game guy.
Gotcha.
To 11, 10, 9.
Potential 9, yeah.
Dez Bryant is awesome, right? He's talent-wise. Put him up there with the four or five top guys.
But the emergence of Cole Beasley underneath and everybody else, I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, with Zeke, they just don't throw him enough. He doesn't get the volume to justify. It's just about volume. He scores touchdowns like a maniac. But what's going to happen is Brandon Marshall's going to absorb red zone targets in particular. He's going to get touchdowns probably, which will cost Odell Beckham touchdowns, which to take him ahead of Julio Jones, Mike Evans, A.J. Green, who don't have those issues.
That's great. Man, that's solid information right there. Good nuggets. We're talking with Kevin Epstein, the commander of DFS Army. You can find him at DFSArmy.com on Twitter, Fantasy Football Geek. Right? Did I get that right?
Fantasy Football, F Football Geek.
F Football Geek at Twitter. Yeah, we got to get ready to cut out of here. We got other guys getting in the studio. Kevin, it was awesome just to have you on. We're going to do this again. This is great. We're actually going to have Kevin on. We had plans for him to come on and do a second round, but this, the background and the, you know, the terminology with the scarcity and everything for fantasy football, this has been great stuff. I didn't want to cut him off.
Awesome. We'll do this again. No
Absolutely.
Doubt.
Kevin, where can we find you and your DFS Army crew at?
Obviously, it's DFSArmy.com. We have lots of free content, lots of stuff going out for fantasy football season. That quite hasn't started yet, but lots of MLB and everything else going on right now, NASCAR, PGA, anything you're interested in, we got you covered. And on Twitter at FFootballGeek.
And you can also find the DFS Army Twitter handle at DFS Army. Go find their website at DFSArmy.com. Get that domination station. I know I am. We got NASCAR coming up. We're gearing up for that, too. So we got to get out of the studio and get ready to get all that stuff going. Kevin, it's been a pleasure, man. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I can't wait to have everybody respond to this. Everybody knows who the Fantasy Football Geek is. We've been talking to him for a while on the Wagon Wire. Now they got a voice to the name. So thank you so much. And thank the DFS Army guys, man. It's been a pleasure.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, man.
Absolutely, brother. We'll talk to you soon.
The DFS Army is made up of a team of daily fantasy sports pros dedicated to helping average players compete in the shark-infested waters of the DFS landscape. The DFS Army combines the industry's best and most accurate projection mythology with the Domination Station Lineup Optimizer. Those tools combined, along with the coaching and advice from the DFS top pros, allow the DFS Army team to continue to dominate the competition. Go to DFS Army VIP membership and use promo code WAGS to get 20% off of your membership. Enlist in a DFS Army today. Go to DFSArmy.com.